My heart was broken, like everyone, like shattered into pieces in ways that I've never felt that way. And I just wanted to go and do something. And so I remember going to make sandwiches for soldiers, like stuffing this bread with tuna, my fingers like sticking with tuna. And I'm like, anyone can do this. What can I do? And one of my best friends from the Army, who was a commander with me, a drill sergeant with me, she said, "You're so lucky you have running. It's like your therapy." And I was like, there are like 30,000 evacuees here. There are runners. I'm gonna go look for them.
Hello, and welcome to the How She Did It podcast. This is Hannah Rachel Gaffin, your host, and I'm excited to share another episode with you. When the war first broke out, there was a lady who started taking the evacuees, refugees in their own land, on running tours around Jerusalem. This lady shares with us the stories that she heard firsthand from these incredible human beings who survived the atrocities of the 7th of October, and kind of walks us through what it means to be a running tour guide. Meet Yael Goodman, the founder of Run JLEM.
It all started from being a tour guide.
Yeah.
Right. So first, I'm a tour guide.
Yes.
I've been a tour guide for, I think, 25 years. Mm-hmm. Ever since I got out of the Army, I did the tour guide course because my mom told me to, not because it was any kind of big dream. And I've been guiding groups for 25 years. And at some point, I think people go through a lot of changes in life. And I've been through many jobs of training guides, working for the Ministry of Tourism, having kids, throughout, trying to figure out that balance of career and motherhood.
Yeah.
When my kids got a little bit older, I had more time to play with ideas of what I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. I was 30 kilos more, which I think translates
really?
To 60 pounds.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
After
three babies, it adds up.
Yeah.
We moved to San Diego for 2 years. I started doing like triathlons and half marathons, and I became a Pilates teacher. And I just went through this phase of wellness and fitness.
Yeah.
And, Southern California, everyone was on this diet called the Whole 30. And so luckily I was in that trend, and I dropped some pounds. Mm. Got back to Israel. I was like, I'm going to open a studio for Pilates. And I was like, yeah, no, I'm not. And then I just started running around Jerusalem. And when I run in Jerusalem, I know the stories.
Right.
I'm like, oh my God, it's so amazing to run and know the history. People need to do this. Mm-hmm. And I was like, so I started running with people and explaining to them while I'm running. And then the whole story goes on from there.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Before I met you, I never really heard of running tours. And I think anyone that really loves running just loves running for the sake of just running and just enjoying the endorphins. But when I'm trying to think of running tours, what does it look like? Does it actually require that everyone will be in a certain shape to do it, or just what's it like?
I know. First of all, I know that some people, when they hear a running tour, they're like, why would someone do that? People who don't run, they're like, that sounds terrible. But for the people who are running, So the way it looks is basically you run maybe 800 yards, you stop for a guiding point. The guiding points are very concise and short, which is something that's very hard for tour guides to do, is to talk a little bit.
Right.
But it's very hard to accumulate a story to 3 minutes.
Right.
So me and my staff, I have staff, I have guides that work with me. Through COVID, we really built the infrastructure of these tours and wrote down the guiding points so that we know it. Because when you know what you're about to say, the elevator pitch, you do it concisely.
Yeah.
And so it's guiding very short and continue running. In order to do these running tours, you need to run a 5K easy. Even though our runs are usually 7K, 8K, which translates to 5 miles.
Right.
But they're with stops, and so it's doable.
Yeah. Would you say there's a pace for how fast they have to run?
No. No, really? Even so beginners.
Beginners,
anyone can do it.
10 minutes a kilometer?
Yes.
Really?
Yes. Yes.
Wow, that's so cool.
Yeah, and we wait for people. I mean, we wait for people. Jerusalem is very hilly. Mm-hmm. So sometimes you see people dying up the hill. And so you kind of just wait for them.
Yeah.
And, you know, as guides, we know how to talk a lot. So we just keep on talking, making sure everyone's heartbeat is okay. And then we move on to the next point.
It's such a cool concept. I've never heard of it in Israel before. It's like, are you like the first one in Israel?
No, actually, believe it or not, there's a whole network of running tours all around the world.
Really? Wow.
I'm part of a network of runningtours.net where you go to Berlin, Budapest, Prague, anywhere in Europe and America and South America. You have running tours. Only in Israel, there's like, of course, everything is harder because I have to be a certified tour guide and a certified running trainer in order to do the tours. Where in other countries, it's more like local runners who do it.
Yeah. I know that in Israel, to be a certified tour guide, you have to go through like some serious training.
Yeah, serious training. It used to be a two-year course. I used to train these courses.
Wow.
And so, two-year course where in the end you have to write a written exam. If you pass the written exam, you do an oral exam. It's brutal.
Yeah, and also in COVID, the tour guides really took a hit.
Yeah.
So do you feel like now at least like things are picking up for you? Like
no,
5 months?
No. I mean, tourism is here. Solidarity missions are here. But I don't think that anyone's interested at this point in like, yay, let's do something fun. You know, people are here to show their solidarity. Israelis are very busy either in reserves or in the war.
But I mean, like, we are 5 months into the war now. And, like, you know, I kind of feel like I was thinking about it today. Like, you know, when COVID hit, we got, you know, eventually we got used to it and, like, life carried on. When the war first hit, like, it was, like, shocking. But, like, I'm starting to feel like life is, like, moving on. And people are looking to carry on with, like, their routine, get into, like, you know.
That's true. And running is
fun things to do.
Especially running, which is whoever runs, it's an integral part of their lives.
Totally.
You know, so for the past 4 or 5 months, how I met you is I was just running with evacuees, running around Jerusalem.
Yeah.
And I did kind of like open my running tours for business. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing when you say it, all of a sudden on Saturday, I had a running tour with a solidarity mission from Los Angeles.
So cool.
So you just have to wish.
Right.
And sometimes it happens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's great. You know, like hopefully through the support we're getting right now from the Jews all around the world, that's where it will pick up.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I do want to just rewind a little bit, like how we actually met. So I got just like a message from you that popped up. It's like, hey, you know, I have this like running group for the evacuees. I heard you have modest running skirts. And then, like, it just carried on from there. Like, you're such an inspiring person. Like, I have so much to learn from you, aside from the fact, also the running guidance that you've been giving me. Tell me, how did that start for you with the evacuees?
My heart was broken, like everyone. Like, shattered into pieces in ways that I've never felt that way. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to go and do something. And so I remember going to make sandwiches for soldiers, like stuffing this bread with tuna. My fingers like stinking with tuna. And I'm like, anyone can do this. What can I do? Mm. And one of my best friends from the army, who was a commander with me, a drill sergeant with me, she said, you're so lucky you have running. It's like your therapy. And I was like, there are like 30,000 evacuees here. There are runners. Yeah. I'm going to go look for them. And so I just did like really groundwork where I went to hotels. You can always, you know, see who the person in charge is there. Mm-hmm. And I got acquainted with the evacuees, with, you know, literally refugees in our own country.
Yeah.
And I ran with one guy from this kibbutz near Gaza, who was in Jerusalem as an evacuee.
Near us.
And then the next day, everyone came for a run with me. So I found myself running with these people who've been through hell on October 7th. They're all in a triathlete group and they were, you know, they were there October 7th.
God.
And I saw that running is also a way of like therapy. You know, you run, you talk, they're processing what they went through. Every time we ran, it was the same story. This is what happened and this is where we went. And if we took a left, we wouldn't have been here. If we took a right, if that car didn't come, you know, you kind of have to process that trauma.
Right.
And I found myself like running. We started calling it like running therapy.
I love that.
Yeah. And then I went to more hotels and I found this group of religious women that some of them were running, but they're like, but we didn't bring anything. And that's when that whole idea is to fundraise for my cousins and to bring the money into the Tani Fund, which is my late brother. We have a fund in his honor that deals with running races in addition to everything. And then they said that, like, we need skirts. We're modest, you know, religious women from Sderot.
Yeah.
And I'm like, running skirts? Okay. So I reached out and I found you. And then I wrote you and you were amazing. You were like, of course. And you were so generous. And I remember bringing them the skirts. They loved them. It was just like, you know, when you go for a run for me, attire, looking $1 million is like part of the run. So in the beginning, people were giving them like used shoes. I don't think that these people want used shoes. They were just living in a hotel. So, and that's how,
yeah. Mm. That's incredible. And today you just have, like, I kind of feel like you started this whole empire. Like, you have such a rich, like, I don't know, group of runners, and just, I feel like this war has just brought, like, a whole new, like, idea for you, for what you're doing.
Yeah.
And I just have to say that, like, it's been so inspiring just seeing from the side what you're doing. Also on your Instagram page of, like, seeing you running with these women. Like, these women literally had to leave their houses within, like, what, 2 hours to pack up their house and restart. And, like, I think people also notice that, like, people see, just because they had to do that doesn't mean that they'll just take any pair of used shoes and, like, yeah, want pity, you know? They yeah, don't want that.
No.
So it was really a nice opportunity. And I also heard some of these incredible stories that you shared. There was, like, I don't know, the one story that you shared with me, you said you had this one evacuee.
About Chagit.
Yes. Yeah. Can you share that story?
Wow. She called me. Her name is Chagit Yasso. Mm-hmm. She's this beautiful Ethiopian 34-year-old woman. She looks like she's 19. She called me. She's like, I heard you run with evacuees. I'm kind of scared to run. Could you come and take me for a run? And I'm like, sure. Showed up at a hotel the next morning, went mm-hmm. for a run with her. And her story, I couldn't believe. First of all, apparently she won like the Israeli version of American Idol in 2011.
Yes, I think I remember this.
She won it. Okay. Oh, she won it. And she's part of a running group of Sderot, mm-hmm.
yes.
and she's also Shomer Shabbat. And so her group drove to Yad Mordechai for mm-hmm. a run, and yes. she didn't go because she doesn't drive. Mm. Three people from her running group were killed. She went for a run, an independent run, okay. and the minute she went for a run, no phone, no nothing, she went into a migunit, which is kind of like an outdoor bomb shelter okay. for the people of the Gaza envelope to run yes. somewhere when they have, like, missile attacks. So, like everyone, 6:21, missiles like crazy. She went into the migunit, and she saw a friend of hers, Lior Weitzman, riding on his bike. And she ran out to him, and she's like, "Put me on your bike." He's like, I can't fit you, but please take care of yourself." 5 minutes later, he was shot by terrorists. And she ran out of the migunit. She saw the Toyotas with the Nukhba, with mm-hmm. the terrorist on it. Mm-hmm. And she ran as fast as she can, and she hid behind a bush for 6 hours.
Oh, my God.
And she saw atrocities. She saw people beg for their lives. And then came a Bedouin from Rahat who drove by and took her to a gas station where she and 11 other people hid until 5 a.m. the next day.
Insane.
Yeah. So, like, just as one story of the stories of the people that were out there that morning.
I think, like, the 7th of October totally opened up a whole new vision for us of, like, what life is about and just, like, the miracles that we're seeing right now in this war. And, like, to leave your house at 6:30 and then, like, to not come home until 5:30, where, like, your whole world is transformed.
Exactly. Without a phone, you keep Shabbat. Your family doesn't know where you are. They thought she was gone.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
So that was one story. Do you have any other crazy?
I do. Well, there are some good stories, too.
Yes.
Well, first of all, Chagit. She's from Sderot,
yes.
and she moved back home. Mm-hmm. I have one of the women from Sderot, her name is Raya. Mm. She loves the skirts. Mm. And she never ran in her life. And I'm training her for a 10K now. And she's going to do the 10K Jerusalem Marathon for the first time.
Incredible.
So it's very exciting.
Yeah, it's big.
And she said that when she goes back to Sderot, she doesn't know who to run with. Mm. So I wrote to Chagit. She's like, I'd love to run with her. So it's like connecting
right.
the evacuees back home
yeah.
of what happened in Jerusalem.
Yeah.
There's another evacuee called Efrat. She's from Shlomi.
Okay.
She has four kids. Two of them are on the spectrum. Mm-hmm. Her kids are thriving here because they have so much access to special ed
right.
that they don't have in the periphery.
Interesting.
So there are stories where, and she's thriving, yeah. you know, she's going to become a running trainer because she's been running so much over here.
Incredible.
And other stories are just, you know, people from a triathlete group that were out there riding their bikes that morning. A lot of them were mm-hmm. part of my running initiative. Mm-hmm. And they didn't know where to go. Nobody had visibility of what's going on that day. Nobody knew that terrorists were
Nothing.
Infesting the mm-hmm. roads over there. Nobody mm-hmm. knew that.
It was totally
And
new
so
for
it
us.
Was just random. And so what was born is a new initiative right now with one of the evacuees that I ran with here. Mm-hmm. He started a new initiative calling Running 7.10 Kilometers. Because mm-hmm. 7:10 is October 7th in
right,
Israel.
Right,
right. Because in America, right, it's October 7th, 10-7. Mm-hmm. But in Israel, it's 7:10.
Yeah.
So we run 7.10 kilometers surrounding all the settlements, kibbutzim
Whoa.
And yeshuvim that were attacked.
Oh my gosh.
And hearing the stories from the people themselves. So that's something I'm working on right now, is I'm helping him lift that initiative. Mm-hmm. I fundraise for him.
That is like a running tour.
It is. Yeah. It's a running tour. It's like March of the Living. You know, it's crazy. Mm-hmm. It's like you go and you hear survivors in our own country.
In our own country.
It's really crazy. Yeah.
It really is. It's like a Shoah. It's like the worst thing that happened to us since the Shoah.
It's even worse because it's in our own country. You know, it's like, it's beyond devastating.
It's atrocious, really. It's like, as much as you see all of the strength that's coming out of it, all the unity, which we didn't really have previously, but you're seeing all the great that's coming out of it.
There's a lot of silver lining. We are an amazing people. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also you and what you're doing. And also you said like the Tani Fund. So how did that come about?
Well, my brother was killed 22 years ago. He was in a yeshiva for Shabbat. And on the way out, he and his friends were playing this game and a gate closed on him. Just this tragic, random, mamash, devastating, silly accident.
Horrible.
Yeah.
So horrible.
He was in the hospital for 5 days. He was brain dead. We donated all his organs. And eventually we started a fund in his honor to keep him alive in some way. Mm-hmm. And that fund was targeted to help students who don't have money to go to Poland, you know, speaking of Shoah, for books for students who can't afford them, and a run that we called the Tani Run, that we would celebrate his birthday by doing Har Eitan, which is a circular 8-kilometer run around Har Eitan, and we did that for 17 years. And nobody had to pay. People would come to the run, they'd get shirts, they'd get everything. Mm-hmm. And after 17 years, we got tired, because to a production of a run is huge, and people, and it got big.
Right.
And we wanted it to stay small, but it got too big, so we closed it down. Mm-hmm. And so there's a fund that keeps on funding these Poland trips and books and stuff like that. And then I was like, okay, I need shoes. I figured out these people need running shoes. I don't want to buy them old running shoes. They need running attire. Mm-hmm. I made a budget per head, and I sent out an email to my cousins, and that they can donate through the Tani Fund.
Incredible.
And I fundraised. I fundraised money, and I went to a warehouse called Demo 364, and they sold me shoes for cost.
Incredible.
And dry fit shirts and skirts. And everyone had, like, you know, ready to run.
Yeah, it was like mamasha hafaka. You've done so well.
Yeah.
And I just want to say also that your brother's Micha Goodman.
Yes, my older brother's also, Micha. He's a big celebrity.
Yeah, in Israel. Like, I know him through Midrash and Prat. But, like, and then when you told me that you're his sister, suddenly I was, like, connecting the dots. Like, you guys are a very intelligent family. You know, like, he may be more intelligent with, like, psychology and politics and Judaism. But, like, what you're doing right now is running. And even listening to your voice notes when you were training me for my half a marathon, I was like, okay, I see how she's related to me. I told my husband, I'm like, this family is just intelligent, you know, like, is it gonna rub off also on our baby, you know, like, because, like, he's got the British sense of humor, and I come from my own, like, artistic world,
right?
But, like, you guys, like, you seem so meuchad in your family. And what's it like, what's your family like?
We're crazy. It's like a sitcom. It's loud and high energies. Oh, it's like really high energies.
Yes.
Yeah. My parents are hysterical. They're really, like, when my friends used to come over when I was little, my parents are like, they're like a comedy, you know?
Yeah.
They're like a comedy.
Yeah. Yeah.
My dad is super funny. He reminds me of the Big Lebowski. And my mom, we call her Jackie Kennedy because she's so elegant and tall. And, you know, she's from Oklahoma. She has the whole Southern thing working
right,
for
her. She has the accent.
She has the accent and everything. And we're 5 kids. Mm-hmm. And yeah, when we get together, it's very, very loud.
Do you also, your other siblings, like, aside from Michal, like, are they also, like, big personalities?
Okay, my brother Avichai he used to be the most famous runner in Israel.
Seriously?
Yeah, he ran his first marathon in Berlin, 2 hours and 26 minutes.
Whoa.
That's like 3 point whatever minutes per kilometer.
Yeah, that's
He was number two in Israel. He was number two in Israel in running. He was a big deal. And even though he could have been exempt from the army as a Spoltai Mitztayen, as like an elite athlete, he decided to go to the army.
Incredible.
And in his army unit, he brought them to very remarkable places in their running. And when he finished the army, he became a professional athlete, and he had this nemesis, one that didn't go to the army and stayed, and he beat him.
No.
You know, so you can go to the army and you can be an elite. And now he's coming back to running after 4 kids.
That's big.
He's coming back. He's going to do the Milano marathon.
He's going to be the new Israel celebrity.
Yes.
Again.
Yes. Reclaiming. So like in the running world, you say Avichai Goodman, everyone's like, oh my God, he has so much talent. And so, yeah.
Incredible.
Yeah.
He should run for you with your running tours, you know?
It's too slow for him. He won't do it. He came on one. Yeah.
Yeah. Whoa. That's so cool. And what about your other siblings?
My older sister lives in Tzfat. Yeah. Okay, she's like more on the spiritual side. Micha lives in Kfar Adumim. Mm-hmm. He's the... And Zeo, myself, and Avichai. Tani, unfortunately...
Oh, right.
Didn't make it. So he was 17. He's stuck at 17.
Right. So you always think of him. It's like in the same way that we're stuck in the 7th of October.
Oh, yeah. It's still October 7th for me.
Yeah. It's funny how, like, since the war, it's like time passes so fast, but it's so slow.
Nechon.
It's like a time warp. Totally Nechon. Time warp.
Mamash.
Yeah. So I just want to say, like, both of us recently just did something, accomplished something that, like, we never had before. So I recently ran my first half marathon in the last 7 years, and you just did a ultra marathon, like, 2 weeks ago.
Yes.
50 kilometers.
50 kilometers.
First of all, that's insane. I didn't even know that exists before I heard about it. I was like, did you say 15 or
15? Yeah, I know. I remember. I was like, 50.
What? Oh my God. And like, that's incredible. First of all, you didn't run more than 36 before just recently. And then you just totally pushed yourself.
Yes.
What was that about?
I had a dream to run an ultra marathon for 4 years. I don't know what it was, but it was just like this hardcore crazy thing. I think I was going through a really hard time in my life, and I tried to, like, so the 50 was in my head. It's not like it just came out of nowhere.
Okay, you've been materializing it.
Exactly. Sometimes you need to marinate in that number for a long time.
Mm.
And then I did races of like 34, 33 with a lot of climbing and a lot of like shetach, you know, like nature, running in nature. It's a whole other story.
Whole world.
It's not about speed. It's about the journey. It's about life. You know, it's not, there is no finish line in life, if anyone thought so.
Yeah.
It doesn't exist. But in running, there's a finish line.
The journey is the destination.
The journey is the destination. So it's about enjoying the journey. It's about enjoying, like, the way.
Mm-hmm.
And it, with everything, so you don't run fast. You can stop and eat a date, and it's like food. You eat in ultra marathons.
So interesting. Yeah. So interesting. Yeah. You were telling me about the journey. First of all, I just have to say you gave me such good advice. Like, I only got into the mode that I was going to do half a marathon like 4 weeks before the marathon.
Oh, you were great.
And I kind of feel like you were like my angel on the journey, guiding me. But like, yeah, it was just like we were bouncing back and forth. You just had all the answers. You were like,
it's
okay.
It's just experience. I've been through the running world, and it's not because of my certification as a running trainer. I don't remember anything from the course.
Oh my gosh.
It's
ingrained in you.
It's just experience, because you feel it's in your body. Because if you get injured and you did it wrong, you don't want anyone else to go through to have that go through. Mm-hmm. So
you gave me some really good tips. So the first one, you were just able to gauge about like pushing yourself to 12, seeing that you could do 12, and then the 16, and then if you could do 16, you could do 21.
Yeah, for sure.
And before the marathon, you were like, don't overdo it. Don't do the 18. Let your body
starve your legs.
Oh, I love that. You have to starve legs. And the whole week before, I was like, okay, I'm starving my legs. I'm just lazing out, not doing anything.
Works.
And it really did
it
work.
It works.
It really works.
Because if you run more before the race, your body is recovering, because you're scratching new distances that you haven't done in a while.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're doing those distances, your body needs to recover.
Yeah.
And you don't want to be in recovery in the half marathon.
You know what it's like? It's like also like in labor. I didn't have the pleasure of having a natural birth, but I did hear a lot about like people who do have natural births, at the end they're tired. It's like they need to regain their strength for the birth.
Right.
I know that you also have like a wild story with your birth.
I do. And that's what kept me the 50 kilometers. I was like, I gave birth 3 times. I can do this. My first one took 40 hours.
Oh my God.
So what's a 7-hour run? I didn't intend for it to be 7 hours. It was supposed to be less, but whatever. I hurt my back and I struggled with pain, but
that was also an incredible story that I want to hear more about.
But 40 hours
of labor
with my son, Noam, who's making noises down there. Okay, my angel. and then my daughter was 20 hours and my baby was 10 hours. And so just that feeling of, you don't have choice when you're giving birth.
Right.
You have to give birth. Uh-huh. It's not going anywhere. So you just push through it.
Yeah.
Literally, you push through it.
Just like the run.
Just like the run. Same. But the run is like a choice that I made.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
It's very similar. The whole like running, it relates to so many other categories of life.
It's all here. It's all mental.
Yeah.
It's all mental.
Totally mental. You gave me some really good advice also for like everything that you said about how it's not about the speed, it's about the journey and just be with it and take water on the way, stop.
Yes, respect the water.
Yes.
Stop and drink.
And I told you, I normally never drink in the mornings when I run. And like I started running now, like, you know, 5 kilometers, like that's like my thing. I ran around 5 kilometers during the week. And you just said, stop and run. And I'm like, I just took every tahana to stop and run.
It gives you air to run more.
Yeah. Just a few sips.
Just a few sips.
You have these really small bottles.
I know, I love them. They were 200 milliliters.
Oh, they were so perfect.
I know, they were. They were perfect.
And they also had dates. They had halva. I took a little bit of the halva. Gives so much energy.
But my rule in races is chadash asur ma'atorah.
Interesting.
I didn't tell you this one?
No. I'm sorry. We need to hear more.
I take it from the Chatam Sofer, right? He said chadash asur ma'atorah. Anything new is forbidden from the Torah on race day.
Okay.
So if you've never eaten halva on a run, it's not the time to start.
Really?
Yeah, but whatever, you're fine.
But how will you ever know if you don't try?
You try before the race.
Oh, I see.
You know,
so
you
when
take
you're training.
When you're training, you try everything.
Right.
Like people are like, why don't you do gels? I don't like the gels. They're synthetic and they're gross. And I feel like running is something so natural. Mm-hmm. We've been doing this forever. Mm-hmm. And women are more resilient long distance runners.
It's so interesting. I didn't
know that. I read this book, Born to Run. You have to read this book, Born to Run.
Chris McDougall.
He went to research this tribe of ultra runners from Mexico. But they don't call themselves ultra runners. Mm-hmm. They just run. That's their way of life. Mm. We as an external group of people see them as the ultra runners and they're all barefoot. The whole barefoot trend started from his book. I don't believe in barefoot running. I need some padding on my feet.
There's a guy in Afra that always goes barefoot running. Now I know where it's from.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. There is also something like we used to run barefoot, you know, but we have shoes right now. So Baruch Hashem.
Thank God. I'm very happy with shoes. Yes.
And so he just went to research these ultra runners. And one of the things he says that, you know, back in the day when we used to live in caves and run after antelopes, it's not like we were running faster than antelopes, but we had the ability to outrun them. Mm. And so it's just that slow. And the person who was in the head of the pack was the grandma.
The grandma.
The grandma was the runner.
The fastest runner.
No, the most resilient one.
Interesting.
No speed. Speed is like for your 20s and 30s.
Okay.
When you're 45 and up, you don't do speed anymore.
Okay.
Just enjoy the way. Keep it nice and slow.
Okay.
And so, yeah, it's just to keep that resilience, to keep that, how do you say nechishut?
Ambition?
Nechishut is to stick to the plan all the time, not to
relentless.
Move from it. Relentless.
Mm-hmm.
Just relentless. And that's what I felt like I was. I was relentless in that run.
In this run, you were
in this run in 50 kilometers, and one of the reasons I was able to do it, are two reasons. One, I enhanced the amount of running because of the evacuees and my volunteering,
right?
Like crazy. I would wake up every morning at 5, go out to different evacuees to different hotels and run with them. So all of a sudden, I'm running 50, 60 kilometers a week where I used to do 30, 40.
Right.
So I upped my amount of my volume of running in a crazy way.
So you're doing an ultra marathon every week.
Every week I was doing an ultra marathon.
Right.
And then an old running trainer of mine who's supposed to train me on my first 50, but he fired me. He fired me.
Okay.
I wasn't obedient.
Yeah, good man. No.
No, but like he's right. If he tells people do this and this and don't do that and that and eat this and this, you know, he's helping your body. And I didn't listen to him. I did whatever I wanted. And he's like, I can't train you.
Right.
Why are you paying me if you're not doing what I want?
Yeah.
And so I was like, okay. So my everything in my life was more, you know, it's kind of like Karate Kid. Do you ever watch that movie?
A long time ago.
Okay, so it's like wax on, wax off. He doesn't really train him. He tells him to do things and then he's trained.
Right.
So it's kind of like the side effect of all this volunteer work that I did was building me for this ultra marathon.
I see what you mean. Isn't that the movie where like he tells him to put up his sweatshirt and again and again and again and eventually he doesn't understand why until suddenly at the game he's like, that's exactly the move.
Exactly.
I see.
Exactly.
So in a way, our whole life is just one big like a sequence of different actions to take us to materialize our dreams in different ways.
Wow. That was very well said. I need that written down. That's very good. Wow.
That's good.
Exactly.
That's good to be had on camera.
So, and also like ultra times, this is the most extreme time in my life and everyone's life.
Yeah.
Like ultra times deserve ultra actions.
We're living in ultra times.
And I was like, I'm doing this ultra. Oh, I want to go. I just need to do something extreme.
Yeah.
And I did it with one of my evacuees, Karen.
Wow.
Yeah. And we, and Oren, the guy who fired me 3 years ago, mm-hmm. became my running trainer.
Oh, he hired you.
And I said to him, I'm like, I can't pay you. I'm not working right now. He's like, I don't want you to pay me. I'm doing this because you volunteer and I'm going to volunteer and I'm going to train you. And it was just, and like I said, but I only ran 36 twice. Mm. He's like, you can do it. He had faith in me.
Is that the one that recorded your 36 hour run? You sent me a video of you running your 36.
Oh no, that's someone else.
Oh.
Okay. He's a running buddy. He's a photographer.
Okay.
We do some runs sometimes.
So, okay. No, you sent me that video.
No, he's like, an ultra runner too.
I was like, this is incredible. But like, who's keeping up with you? 36 kilometers. It's like, you know, sunrise, getting dark again. I'm like, what's going on here? Like,
I knew
you was kind of crazy. Like, I know
it's like 4 a.m. I know. Those
personal
runs.
Personal photographer on the way. Wow.
Yes.
Okay, so
a
you have
a good ultra friend of mine is a photographer too.
Yeah? Keep him.
Of course. And also, he's the only one that waited for me at the end of the 50. Because
oh.
No one was there.
Seriously, they all packed up. Everybody went. Wait, tell me. I want to hear the full story of what happened. I read your post, but I want to hear it from the beginning.
Okay, so here I am.
Simmering with the number 50 in your mind for the past 4 years.
Yes, exactly. And there's like race day. And because I have a business of running tours, I put up my gazebo. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I didn't take under consideration was that we were asked to pack 4 sacks of 15 kilos of sand in order to anchor our gazebo because of the winds.
Right.
So as I get there, I didn't notice I'm just like, you know, schlepping these bags out of the car. No help, no nothing. I strained my back. I didn't know it yet.
I
figured it out in kilometer 25 the next day.
Oh, no.
And so it's all these, life happens, you know. I was ready. I was trained. I was fed well. Everything was like by the book. But then life happens. So I wake up in the morning, you know, very nervous. Am I wearing this? Am I wearing this? Everything's all over the place. I'm totally ADD. I forgot these shoes in the car and I'm going on the dates and I'm just like, you know, chasing my, like a chicken with his head cut off. Is that how you say it in English?
Yes.
Yeah. I have good English, but I'm really an Israeli. So I get to race day and the, you know, the Kavazinuk, the start line. And I take this coat, this beautiful Columbia raincoat that I wore. Mm. And then I was scared that I was going to be cold. You know, you have all these thoughts when you're
everything
running.
Like,
cold, am I
going to
be hot? Did I bring too much food? Oh, my finger's hurting me. You always have these, like, your brain bites on these little nuggets and just chews on it for no reason.
Of course. Right before the marathon.
Right before the marathon. Do I have to pee? Do I not have to pee? You know, like all these. And so my first mistake, well, my first good thing was that I ran slow. I ran in my own rhythm.
Okay.
Which is really a metaphor for life. Everyone runs in their own rhythm. A lot of times in my life, I ran other rhythms that weren't mine, and I got hurt.
Yeah.
And now I'm running. I try to run my own rhythm. Everyone's running. Ah, basababa, you guys run. This is my ketsev. I have 50 kilometers. I need to save some fuel. And then I saw this running trainer I did running tours for. And I was like, oh, I don't know if I want this jacket. I'm just going to take it off and give it to him, and I'll be fine. So kilometer two, I take off my wind coat.
Oh, no.
So I was with shorts and a short sleeve shirt.
And he was like looking cold.
I don't know. I was afraid it was going to be hot.
Oh, okay.
So I took it off. So I gave it to him and I said, go put it in my gazebo.
Okay.
And the wind was insane. But the first 25 kilometers, it was fine. I was like, I'm doing good. Nothing hurts. This muscle and this is fine. And I'm eating and I'm stopping at every stop. Like I said, walking before I'm tired to save my energy.
Smart.
And then kilometer 25, I just feel like someone took a nail and put it in my lower spine. I was like, ow, ow. So I started running like this, like holding my back, and I'm running like that. I'm stopping at the ambulance. I'm like, do you have like a bandage or something? They're like, stop running. And I'm like, that would make me cry. I was like, no, I don't want to stop running. I want to keep on going, but it's so hard. So for the next 3 hours, at some point I'm alone because everyone's like passing me because I'm just walking a lot.
Right.
And the 50 was vicious because, you know, you had these roads that go vertical. Mm-hmm. And parallel, right? So the ones that went vertical, the marathon takes a left, but the ultra marathon has to take a right and run 3K and then 3K and then continue with the marathon.
Right, back and forth.
And the wind made the Dead Sea look like the Pacific, you know?
So
it was
windy.
Like if you open your mouth, your cheeks would blow up. It was like, if you lean on the wind, you can stay there, right? So it's like you're running wind against the wind.
Yeah.
And so it was a rough one too. At some point, I stop again at the ambulance. And the guy's like, you're giving yourself some damage you may not, repair it. I'm like, it's not, because they just want to go home, right?
Of course.
And I'm their last
Delaying
one.
Delaying them.
So I'm like, do you have any Advil? They're like, no, but we have a Kamona and Optalgin. Take two of each. I'm like, I just like pop all these pills.
This was at what kilometer?
This is at 32.
Okay.
Yeah. So I still have 18 more to go.
Oh, no.
So I'm just walking and I'm angry. I'm just like angry walking because I'm like, I didn't consider this. This is not fair. And I can't believe I gave away my, I'm just like angry.
Yes.
And then I'm talking to God and then I'm crying. And then at some point there were no water stops left. They all folded up and left. Aye. At some point there were two people behind me and then they passed me too. I was just like alone.
Like an ugly duckling.
I was like alone. I had no race experience of people. I'm like, hey, what's up? It's just like me with my pain and alone.
Oh, no.
And, even at some point, I hope this is not too TMI, I really had to pee. And all the bathrooms flew because they were
because of the wind.
And I'm like, I look around, like, there's no one here. So I just pee.
Oh my God.
I was alone.
You know what? All the men were doing it.
Exactly.
I was like, what about the women?
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, at least there's some perk of being last in the race.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the fact that you can sing out loud and curse out loud and talk to God and nobody says anything to you.
Runs are the best time to talk to God. I love it.
It really is.
And also crying. I used to run crying. People in the street would be like, I'm like, just leave me the heck alone. I need to cry.
I call it Sugan. Try it yourself.
Yeah.
It's like, really great.
And also like with yoga, they say like when you're doing yoga, you're letting out different emotions. And that's why sometimes you just get teary and running is so much like that.
Everything is in your body. Everything you went through your life is in your body.
Yeah.
Your mind may not remember everything, but your body remembers everything. Yeah. And so when you run, it works the body. Everything comes out.
It's
running therapy,
Oh my God.
Yeah.
So you had like a really intense therapy during the session.
Oh my God.
And what was it like when you finally reached the finish line? I hope they didn't pack that up.
They packed it up.
Oh no.
No one was there. All the things were down. But thank God, my running buddy.
Your running buddy.
Who photographed. He ran with me the 4 kilometers.
Okay,
he joined me and he ran with
me. So that's the finish line.
That's the finish line. And he did a 50 himself. He just finished 2 hours before me. Oh, and like my friends are calling me, we're waiting for you at the finish line. I'm like, don't wait. I have like 2 hours. Do not go home. Don't feel bad. Go.
Oh no.
Yeah, but I have to say my mom called me at kilometer 44. Kilometer 44. I can't believe I did those kilometers. And she's like, sugar doll, how are you doing? I'm kilometer 44. She's like, holy crap. Holy crap. You go, girl. And it helped. I just started running. Yes.
Wow.
And then I got to the end and everything was folded down. And I was like, where's the person who's calling out names? And so this woman was like folding. Ech korim lach? Yael Goodman.
I love that.
There was a few medals left.
Oh my God.
I gave myself a medal.
Amazing. So amazing,
Yeah.
I mean, they should have an award for the last runners. It takes courage to be the last.
I need a podium.
Yes.
I need a podium.
Yes.
Yes. But I did it.
It's a strike for the ego.
Absolutely. But I did wear my medal for 3 days afterwards straight.
Oh, I love that.
I know. I was the joke of Instagram. There was like all these videos of Instagram. I was like, oh, I ran a marathon. I was that person. I was like, I ran an ultra. Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah. Do you have the merit? Do you have it?
Yes. Of course.
You have to keep it on to the end of the podcast.
Here is my 50. 50.
Wow.
I know.
Oh my God. You earned it.
Yes.
Totally. Oh my gosh. I have to see this. Oh my God.
I know.
50 freaking kilometer finisher.
I'm going to do it again.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I need a corrective experience,
Yeah. No back pain.
Don't schlep bags a day before a 50 merit, Maybe hire someone to work your gazebo.
So do you feel like, how do you feel about yourself now that you didn't feel, that you didn't necessarily feel before you finished this?
I do have more confidence, I have to say.
Yeah.
Like pricing and who I am and,
Yeah.
I mean, I guess I had it in before, but yes, I am. It's very funny because I was supposed to put up a post on Instagram. I have someone who does it for me. I don't do that stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm not like you, business oriented. Okay. I don't even know how to do a selfie properly. But I pay someone to do it for mm-hmm. me.
Yeah.
And she wanted to put up a post that I'm coming back to business. I'm like, wait a second. I ran 50. I think that will raise my
Monitine,
yeah. my reputation in the running world. Mm-hmm. And so she put up a post. And usually I get like 20 likes in a week for my regular posts, mm-hmm. 110 likes and comments mm-hmm. within an hour
wow.
of my 50 story. Mm. So it was like, okay, I'm back to business. Like, I should have ran a 50 before to have my business if I would have known.
But the business.
Runners are so crazy. Oh, she ran 50, so now we can go on a running tour with her.
That's it. You're hired.
Yes, I'm hired. Yeah. But I love the 50. I'm definitely staying in this area. And it's, you know, I was 20, only 22 women did it.
Only 22.
And I was number 22.
That's incredible.
Yes.
You go, girl.
I know. I will.
Yeah.
Yes. And you did a half marathon in no time. You have it in you too, I'm telling you.
Yeah,
I'm telling you. I totally yes. see you
really?
Doing this.
Yes. Really?
I told you, when your kids will get older,
yes,
it's a different world.
So I believe you. I really do believe you. I am still in my child rearing years and
no, you had
and
a baby.
Like, and that
and you also, did it. You did
have C-section. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, this is after like 10 months after a C-section and a baby, and
that's a 50 kilometer in my eyes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I remember we were training and I said your 16 is like my 36. Mm-hmm. Because the number doesn't matter.
Right.
It's where your body is challenged that matters.
Yeah. And I really do empathize with what you're saying about like the more value in my own eyes. I really also for me, I kind of walk around with a little bit more
ease
in my step. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah,
don't mess with me. I can run half a marathon.
Absolutely.
You know, this is like owning it.
Yeah.
And also before, I remember I sent you a message before the marathon. I'm like, listen, I'm starting to doubt myself. I don't really know if I could do it. 21 is a lot. I haven't really done it. I only trained for it for 4 weeks. You know, it really was a big push for myself, but somehow you push yourself, and somehow when you're in the middle of that push, what I love about the run is that I'm not necessarily thinking about anything. I kind of feel like my mind is in a different universe.
It's like pure mindfulness.
Pure mindfulness.
Pure mindfulness.
And also it was so windy on that day, and also it was kind of rainy towards the end, but the views of the Dead Sea, there was this like pocket of light beaming through the sky. It looked like
that
Photoshop.
I was Shekhinah.
That was
Shekhinah.
Exact, in those words.
Shekhinah.
And I felt like Hashem was with me. It was also on my actual Hebrew birthday, which is why I was doing it in the first place. It was like turning 35, you know, I wanted to show every year before my birthday, I kind of say, you know, I want to feel like I've done something this year. I want to feel like I'm not just going to get 1 year older. I'm going to get 1 year older with an accomplishment for myself, something that I consider meaningful.
Mamash.
And so I pushed myself and I did it. And I felt like there was such a Shekhinah in the air with everyone running, also in the times of war, like everyone is running with their own causes, with like, you know, le zecher zeh that fell in Gaza, for the kidnap, for this and for that, and everyone's running with these different, we're gonna dance again, and this girl had this tattoo of the 42 on her leg, and everyone had their own cause, but then there was like a unity of everyone running together, like b'lev echad v'am echad, and it was just, it was above nature, ma'al teva. And I think that's what gave me energies to really do the 21K and to do it till the end. And also for me, towards the end, like, you know, you start running out of energy and then you have people who are like, yalla, do it. And this lady gives me her hand and he's like, yalla, and I'm screaming. I sound like a chicken, totally, just like shrieking out of nowhere. But the energy that you get from the people along the side, it's
Mamash.
Not nothing. It's
no,
like,
it's everything. Everything.
Yeah.
Everything.
And it's not just in a run. I think also in life, like, you know, when you pay.
You need your cheerleaders
when you get a,
in life.
Yeah, you need the cheerleaders. Yes. I used to have a coach that said, you need to have cheerleader friends. Like, you need to surround yourself with superstar friends.
I know. There's this saying in Hebrew. It's like, your friends should be like a good bra. If it doesn't lift you, ditch them.
I love it. Oh my God, that should be like a slogan for a bra store.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. But yeah, you need your cheerleaders. And just thinking about those, like for me, thinking about the survivors of that October 7th running.
Mm.
That breaks my heart to think of what they went through. Because a lot of the evacuees of the very closer places to Gaza were in the Dead Sea.
Right.
So all the hotels of like Be'eri and Nir Oz and all those places were in the Dead Sea.
I was wondering about that.
And so they were there. You know, I met them. Really? Because I've been very close with the war, because I've been with the evacuees, and so I've been meeting all these people.
I've noticed. I mean, when we went to the hotel to do the sale, you were just like shchuna, like, oh,
not
I
a shchuna,
I used to say, hey,
of course,
yeah, bring the CEO. Yeah. Want to have coffee with him before we start this pop up sale for all the evacuees. By the way, after this, I'm going to have to get all your contacts.
Yes, you know? Of course. It's all about networking, you know.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So but you have it too with the networking.
Yeah. Baruch Hashem.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank God. So we were running with all these evacuees at the day. I didn't even realize. Like, I thought they were there, but like they had energy to go out and run and do
that. That was their therapy.
It's such a therapy.
Yeah.
It's such a therapy. And that's why I also think that what we're doing with Hanabana as well is a very big therapy for them. Because, like, you know, the women who also had to leave their homes, it's nice for them to be at the hotel. It's nice for them to get free food. But when you're running and running in a modest running skirt when you're religious.
Absolutely.
That is a
no,
ticket.
No, they loved it. You had to ticket. See. But also, it kind of like these women were wearing these skirts.
Yeah.
And these women come into the hotel, where'd you get that from? And then they started to join the running group for the swag. Right?
I love it for the skirt.
For the free skirt.
For the free
and,
skirt.
And the free, whatever, shoes. And some of them found themselves running that they never thought they would run. But it was their only opening. Like, literally, they would run away from their kids in the hotel. The kids would be, like, grabbing their legs. Ina! And they're like, I'm out of here! Boys, I'll run! Like, giving that look of death to their husband. Get them away from me!
It's like a ticket to freedom.
And a lot of them were talking about how the fact that they can exit the hotel and run gave them confidence to go to the mall, gave them confidence to go. It builds resilience.
Yeah.
And they got to know each other. These people came to the hotel. It's not like kibbutzim that I would run with, that they're unified.
Mm-hmm.
But that got them to be a community too, the community of runners.
Yeah.
And they want to continue in Sderot. So we're all, like me and the volunteers, we're going to go Be'ezrat Hashem down to Sderot and run with them there.
I really want it to be safe enough for me to go, because like I heard that even though it's Sderot and like people are going back, it's still not 100%.
I go once a week. I go once a week.
So you're brave, but you're brave.
Well, I call it brave, call it stupid. I don't know. But I run with these people. They relive the trauma, and I'm with them running it. So I feel privileged to be there with them at this, like, the proximity to everything that it happens. And you hear the IDF bombing in Gaza, and it's like, it's very loud.
You're a warrior. I'm going to join it, Be'ezrat Hashem, one day.
You will. Listen, we're breaking shirts. We're fundraising for it. I'm trying to fundraise for buses to make it down over there. Like,
You should keep up. What you're doing is Avodat Kodesh.
Amen,
I just want to say one last topic. I kind of feel like whenever I'm running, I feel like all the areas in my life that are a little bit stressed or pressured, it reminds me of like the areas I want to lafig, like I want to like let go. But I kind of feel like the running itself helps me release pressure.
Absolutely.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
You start a run where you feel like someone's choking you, but no one is.
Right.
And you finish the run, and I'm not saying it's magic and that the choking goes away, but it's released a little bit.
Right. It's a little bit released.
It loosens it up.
Like a good massage.
Yeah. It loosens things up a little bit, and you run through them, and you think about it, or not, or whatever, but just run it out, because it's in the body, and you just need to release it.
Yeah.
And so it's been it.
All the best ideas are coming running as well.
So yeah.
It's a magic drug.
It really is. And I am so happy I met you. First of all, to learn so much and to be inspired by your orientation of business and like the fact that you just had this all down to an art, you know, and you had a baby and you're coming back to business.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm the opposite of you. I finished my three kids. My baby was seven when I started, you know, I'm like a late bloomer when it comes to entrepreneurship and blooming. But I think I have a lot to learn from you.
Thank you. Thank you. And I'm so happy that I got that message from you on that October 17th or something. And that you came into my life, because also I have so much to learn from you. You're my mamash inspiration. And like I said, what you're doing is Avodat Kodesh. I consider you like a running Rebbetzin. And I think that you should Hashem should give you strength to continue doing what you're doing and to continue owning your 50 and owning all of what you're doing around the Israel right
thank
now.
Thank you.
Yeah, so thank you. And how can people find you?
RunJLM.com.
So RunJLM.com.
RunJLM.com.
On Instagram and on the website.
Yes.
Okay.
And thank you for this. for giving me a voice. Thank you.
I think this conversation just shows us how many different unique ways there are to help in the war effort, and just how therapeutic running can be. I strongly recommend for you to go check out Yael's pages, both on Instagram and on Facebook. And if you would also like to get involved in donating running skirts from Hanabana Activewear, not only to the women of the South now, but unfortunately also the women of the North, who are also scattered all around Israel without their comfort, you can get in touch with us at hana@hanabana.com. That's C-H-A-N-A at C-H-A-N-A-B-A-N-A.com. And we'd be happy to hear from you. Feel free to share this podcast with anyone who would find it beneficial. And I'm looking forward to seeing you in the next episode.